Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Johan.
I'm Nathan.
We're back. It's minute 74. Chris is here. Yay. He's been here all week. I don't even know why I said that.
Exactly.
Chris, thank you so much for taking care of the guys down in the closet, because they have been rambunctious all week. I'm really happy that you were able to take care of them. You know what? I'll take care of them. Hey, next time it's on me.
Okay.
I'll take
care of them. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. No problem. This is minute 74, and we're back with Nathan Renly and Johan Joseph. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Hey, thanks for having us back.
This is minute 74. Minute 74 begins with Chimera. This begins with Chimera getting lasered and ends with Team Ambrose walking around on the Death Star?
Maybe?
Question mark? Yeah, we finally get to see one of the many one of the many multi-tools of this electron microscope. We learned that it had a vacuum yesterday, which is pretty cool. Not only does it suck, but it also blows. It blows laser. Well, that's the title of the episode.
Blows Laser. Isn't that the unmade John Woo film? Blows Laser.
That sounds like a character on Axe Cop. You ever seen that show?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Blows Laser.
Yeah, we also found out that it knows the specimen sample, which is yes or no.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like
false dichotomy.
Yeah.
And then Ethan hits two buttons. The two buttons he hits 8 and 1, and that on the keypad, and that starts some sort of self-destruct of the Chimera virus.
You know what he does? He bumps the thermostat. That's always going to be an argument later. You can never bump the thermostat and think it's going to be fine. It's not cool.
Yeah, he hits it. He hits it, and it goes all the way up to 226 degrees.
Wow.
So, which we're about to find out is not good for Chimera.
I thought it was 69 degrees.
Nice.
No, I thought it says, okay.
No, remember, you can't understand Australia. This is what we've learned.
But in Celsius, that's 156 Fahrenheit. That's still a lot.
Here's the thing. It says 226 with the laser temperature, but the coolant temperature is negative 226.
Which means they did not add coolant. So he must have turned off the coolant.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know why it would be negative. It should just be zero.
It's nerds. Temperature. Come on, guys.
Man, Chippy Lube is definitely going to want to top that off.
That's why. It seems like he zeroed it out. Just like, I'm going to add as much coolant as I am going to do laser.
Do you think he adds coolant to this? It's getting hot. It's getting red.
Yeah, it looks like he's burning it up.
Yeah.
I don't think he would freeze it.
So why is he changing the coolant temperature? Yeah, you're right. It should be at zero, not the same exact temperature.
Reversed.
Well,
also, who has a readout for laser temperature? Lasers are lasers.
Ethan Hunt does.
And aren't they?
Who has an electron microscope that can do things like this?
Ethan Hunt.
If that's where if the laser comes out of the middle, where's the camera? Well, I mean, the electron part, the bombardment.
It just
part.
Shoots more electrons in until it heats up.
Is a laser made of electrons? I don't actually know.
I don't either.
Well, what I really like is that Clippy pops up and says, looks like you're trying to terminate the life of a globally devastating hybrid flu virus. Can I help?
Hey, everybody, it's Clippy.
Guys, just be quiet. If you're quiet long enough, he'll go away.
I'm not going away. Your coolant says negative 226. That didn't look good. That sounds bad. I'm just a paperclip, but I think that's bad.
No, we don't need his help. Go away, Clippy.
Chimera is sweating and complaining quite a lot now. Feel like
Have
you should
we talked
probably turn
about
it down.
Chimera seed stock? They call it a bunch of weird things in this. If you listen to the actual robot, she's saying a lot of weird stuff. She's like, Chimera seed stock failing. Chimera organism. Like, I wish they just decided on what they were going to call it. They call it four things.
Shut up, Siri. I'm trying to play Interpol on Spotify.
It seems like, you know, that having come right off of Eyes Wide Shut into this, Tom Cruise's Kubrick influence is all over the sequence in general. You know, the little computer voice talking is very much Dave sounding, even if it isn't. And even the imagery looks like Dave. I apologize. I'm tired. Hal-esque, and just the whole atmosphere is very, very Kubrick to me.
So it looks like this thing can survive. The optimal range is around, I mean, there's a couple things that say optimal range, but there is a temperature gauge, and I assume this is Celsius. So it's about, in the range, it's 40 degrees Celsius and 10 degrees Celsius. That's the range. Mm. But for us Americans, it's between 50 degrees and 104 degrees.
Negative 50?
No, regular 50.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was cold anyway, but I guess, I mean, it would have to survive in air. I assume air is inherently cold.
You know, if you really put that chimera virus on a person, it would take right off.
Yeah, it'd be perfect. Piece of cake once you get
it. Be right at the optimal temperature, spread around.
98.6, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Although that seems a little high in the range.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And then if the person gets a fever, it burns it off.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get a fever when you have chimera. It's really bad for the
chimera. I think it's actually one of the symptoms, isn't it?
Yeah. Because well, you don't know that. John C. McCloy is not given the real chimera, so his pastiness, we don't actually know if the other
was,
doctor,
was he licking his palms and, you know.
This pretending. Is like the worst Plague Inc. Virus you can come up with, and then you just lose immediately. It's like it can't survive heat at any temperature above fever, so it can't get anybody sick. This doesn't sound like, what is the stakes of this virus again? Have we never established it, did we?
I'm glad that we're now three more episodes in this week and we're still no closer to figuring out the stakes of this virus. Well, the virus is a mistake. I mean, that didn't mean to say steak twice, but the stakes of this is, it is a mistake. They didn't mean to make it.
Yeah.
It is an ill-made thing that also has a cure. It's just extremely virulent and deadly. There's no stakes. It's still, at this point, it's him killing the virus. We're like, all right, great. Now the virus is dead. Fantastic. But it's not, because it's in those injection tubes that we haven't gone to yet. We haven't gone to the green room yet.
They keep all the drugs and the booze and like the little small sandwiches in there.
Right.
It's just a little foam cooler just sitting there in the corner.
This is the green room? Ugh.
Those little sandwiches. Tea sandwiches? Yeah. It's a little cucumber and sour cream.
With the crust cut off.
I want big bread.
We're forming diseases here, and you can't eat the crust?
Well, it's hard to get in that mask. Yeah.
I have a sensitive esophagus. What can I say?
So Ethan seems to like this mask, because it seems like the same mask he's got in Fallout. When he does the Halo jump.
It does. It looks a lot like the Halo jump.
It does.
Mask.
It does. It's kind of weird. Even the lighting is the same, you know? It's that reddish light.
He likes bringing back old masks.
Yeah, you know.
This may just be his own personal mask. It just works for lots of different things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the big issue is making sure you see the Tom Cruise face. And that's what that mask is all about, you know?
Can't cover that put-em with nasty masks.
It was like, you know, that's what they had to do with The Abyss. They had to have those masks specially made just so they could see the actor, light the actor, and then record the actor.
Lit from the inside, yeah. Lit from
exactly.
the inside.
Too. And the one in Fallout's lit from the inside also, you know?
Yeah.
And
also, we talk about Star Trek 2. Yeah. Not Star Trek 2. Star Trek also.
Star Trek also.
The sequel to Star Trek.
In Star Trek also, they use those Macs nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a J.J. Abrams thing, I guess, you know? He's getting his fingers in early. But yeah, I think it's a cool-looking mask. I mean, it does the job, but I'm assuming it keeps him safe.
Well, we don't know that. No. But he does. Later on, we'll find out what happened. Like when he gets scanned to see if he's got anything on him, we'll find out if he's got anything on him. He finishes his task, so not really Mission Impossible at this point.
Well, can I
the
say
the possible part was jumping through the shaft?
Yeah, because he seems to have done the job pretty easily.
Yeah,
like he's
yep. Well, we talked about it yesterday. He just kind of chilled out and walked through there pretty easily. Turned on the laser with two buttons, turned it up to 81 degrees.
Yeah.
Just hit 81 on the keypad and boom.
Yeah, he set his nest up there. Wait, so what is the little like Lego mini set he sets up on the keyboard though? You know, when you like can't afford a full Lego set and you get like the little stormtrooper with the like receptive disc, he puts that right on the keyboard there.
That is a ba-ba-bomb.
Oh, ba-bomb.
And we'll see it again. It will come back.
Oh, cool. There's one other thing though. After he sets that up, they show his face, as you were mentioning.
Yeah.
And there is clearly, in a callback to a previous episode I was on, there is no glass on his or plastic on the front of his mask for one shot because they want to be able to show him without glare, just like how in Mission Impossible 1 they wanted to show him in the phone booth without glare on the phone booth. But there is definitely one part where they want to show his glistening face with nothing obstructing it.
I agree. Second 54, there is nothing on his face.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Because you can actually see the sheen of his brow. You can see the sweat on his forehead. I don't think in any of the other scenes where he's wearing the mask, you had that kind of detail.
Yeah, because the natural light, quote unquote, should be like reflecting right off the mask at this point.
Yeah.
Because you can see on his forehead, he has light reflect. Like there are bright spots on his forehead.
Yeah.
Good catch, Nathan.
Well, this sequence has, you know, like I said, it's really well lit, I think. And I know that they...
It is. We talked about it. Yeah. When you were here, of course.
When I was dealing with the directors.
Totally. Yeah. We talked about how amazing the production design is.
Oh,
this thing. And we were also talking about the lighting. We didn't really go into
Well, I mean, it's Jeffrey Kimball, you know, is the cinematographer that's listed. I know that Lord of the Rings trilogy, Andrew Lesney, was the cinematographer originally. And then he was let go fairly early on, but I don't think they'd even shot this stuff yet.
How early, like for what reason?
He wasn't getting along with John Woo because Lesney wanted, you know, specific, you know, he's used to working a specific way out in Australia and New Zealand and all that. But Woo is the type of guy who likes to have like 12 cameras set up for a simple shot. And I think that was a little too much for Lesney to handle because apparently it was even, you know, for like the little things, you know, like talking shots. And that's why all the camera angles look like they're all done at the same time, because they kind of are.
It's also easy to quit when you're in your home country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like if I was next to my house and I had a job that I was literally could see my house from, and if I got like fed up with the BS, I'd just be like, I quit.
Yeah.
You're like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Go back to that. I'd sit on my porch and like yell at them.
Yeah.
You suck.
Go back to Texas, John Woo.
Yeah, he actually left less than a month into shooting.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have had a lot of stuff done at that point.
Yeah, but with Woo, you know, they were so far behind. You know, this projection just went on forever. But I was going to say earlier, because I was talking about 2001, on my Apple TV, when you're watching the movie and you stop it and you go back to the Watch TV or the Watch Movies app, part of the Apple TV, the image that they choose is the one where he's lasered into the hole that he's going to walk into in the sequence, not in this sequence, but at the beginning. And the one that they use, and there's a shot in 2001 that looks exactly like that. So when I first saw it on the Apple TV, I'm like, I wasn't watching 2001. And I realized it was Mission Impossible 2 that I was watching.
Yeah, the color palette in this is very 2001, especially on the spaceship.
Yeah.
I agree, because we talked about that earlier this week, because you were
here. Yeah, I was
here. Because you were
totally here.
The Monday's episode, we talked about how well it's lit and how it looks really cool. Like, I love the shot from underneath with the laser going through the glass.
Yeah. And that's the shot. That's the shot that they literally have on the Apple TV. And when, like I said, when I was flipping through it, I'm like, it looks just like 2001 in this shot. And it does, you know, for that, at least for this segment, I think, you know. I like the way it's really well shot. I mean, Jeffrey Kimball's a good cinematographer, though, so I'm all for it.
It seems like overkill that he's now going to blow up the lab. That's a weird move, because I thought this was supposed to be stealthy. Otherwise, why did you sneak in?
Yeah, why didn't you just blow it up?
Why didn't you just send a missile down the shaft and just blow everything up at the bottom?
That's what she said.
The pillow talk's weird, Chris.
It is. That is right. Why didn't he just firebomb it the minute he opened up the thing?
Yeah.
Again, what is the plan?
I'm gonna burn off this virus and blow it up.
I'm just gonna blame Billy on this one.
And then our last shot of this entire minute is the Team Ambrose walking through a really nice black marble floor shot, like their reflection. There's not even a shot. Mm-mm. Now, see, that's what they should have done instead of doing the blips.
Yep.
Yeah.
No blips. Just have this, and you don't even know where they are, but you know kind of they're there.
Yep. Where they're walking.
That would have added a lot of more tension.
Yeah. Give a raise to that janitor who buffed those floors so well.
No kidding. They got some intern in there. John Woo's like, scrub it with this toothbrush.
See those floors?
It's really clean.
Yeah, just because it's supposed to be kind of like a very, very sanitary area, because this is where, well, I'm not sure if it's supposed to be sanitary with the way that virus was being stored. But a lot of bacteria can be caught in that grout. Like, why would they use that?
Well, that's not, they're not on the same floor yet. I assume they're still on like a.
Yeah, but it would still be bacteria in that. Like, you're still dragging it up with you.
But they were on the elevator before, so they're taking two different elevators?
Oh, you're right. They were on the elevator before.
Yeah.
Maybe they're walking toward the front door of the lab.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the most sterile thing to have.
You know what we never see, and we might see it in the next minute? Do they have their own recording of John C. McCloy saying his name so they can get in?
John C. McCloy.
Does everybody just have this?
Yeah, did you get yours in the mail that year?
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, they don't have, like, what's it called, masks or anything like that. They just have Dickies, jackets, and slacks.
So this is a good place. Let's go to Tech of the App. You guys wanna jump on in with me?
Sure. I do. Yeah.
Let's jump in.
Let's turn the heat up then. Turn up them lasers and let's go. Pew, pew, pew. Ooh, it's hot in here, guys.
It's like Luther. It's like Luther sweating hot in here.
Oh, it's like 200. I bet you it's 226 degrees in that van.
Exactly.
He's always sweating.
Luther's always sweating in this scene.
He is.
No, let's not say Luther. Ving Rhames is always sweating.
Yeah.
He is. All right, we are in Tech of the App. Chris.
Yes.
Give me your tech.
My tech. I'm going to go with that mask, with the cruise mask. That seems to lose its
Halo mask?
Yes, his Halo mask. I'm going with that. Because it mysteriously removes its glass face, you know, when it needs to, for close-ups. No, it's my close-up. The mask has to be off.
Nathan, what about you?
I'm going to go with the voice that says things like, Chimera stock life terminated, you know, to let you know how things are going with the Chimera.
Okay.
Bad place, Siri.
That's not bad.
Because you got to update it, but you also got to have like a Siri-like connection with it so it can tell you how it's going. So, you know, that was a big deal for 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
even
like
a cell phone. I was like, oh my God, where's that phone's plug? You know?
It's almost like the Resident Evil interface on, you're all going to die here.
Okay.
Who was that? That Lady Skynet that they did in Terminator Salvation? The Helena Bonham Carter?
Yeah.
Like, Chimera stock life terminated. And you're like, was that a pun? And it was like, no, I'm not going to terminate you. Good.
Johan, what about you?
I'm a little bit torn. Okay. I like the UI because of the way it changes for this whole new setting, because it's completely different from the other one.
Yeah, it's not even close to what the other one was, so I don't know why this wasn't just the thing you saw.
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of fun. This has got, like, all the different, I'm looking at it, like, second, fifth, 21. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
compared to
like
the
little gauges.
Yeah, compared to the first screen that you got, this one's way better. But when the room starts to heat up because he's turning up the laser, the lights in the background are synced to the laser that he's using. I kind of like that. Like, the minute he turns up the heat, the lights in the back, like, they go chunk, and then it turns red. It's like, ah, things are going to get hot. I'm going to change the light to the appropriate mood.
I assume that's music. A setting in your nest when you go to 81 degrees.
Yeah, it seems like a setting like on the microscope. Like, you make a change to the microscope, like the room changes with you.
This microscope is quite possibly one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Wait, why did it turn red light? Isn't it supposed to be natural light?
I think the red was a warning.
It was from sunset. They captured some light at sunset.
Uh-huh, see? Yep, that's what, yep.
All right, so that makes it even better. That makes... That just makes it even better, the lighting in this room for this scene, or this minute. I like it. It sets the mood just right. It's better than Luther Vandross.
Or Luther Van...
Van...
something.
All right.
Luther Van pun. I can't think of anything that... Van Douse? Because he's, like, sweaty? I don't know. I can't think of anything else. Mine is going to be the soon-to-be... used C4 charge added to somebody's poor keyboard.
Poor keyboard.
Yeah, why poor, just a poor keyboard?
Also, what is that thing on top? Is that an antenna? I think
it's an antenna. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, but it looks like a pin.
Yeah.
It looks like
he's
got to
pull the pin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, turn this side toward enemy, like it's a claymore. Kind of feels like an anti-personnel mine.
Yeah.
Cute little guy. So
it is a cute little guy. Nathan said it was a Lego figure. Like a mini figure.
Like he pets the top of it, like, you do your little job.
Yeah. It'd be awesome if it was a minifigure of Ethan Hunt.
That's what I thought he was talking about. I was like, there are minifigures in this one already?
How badass would it be if there's a little guy? I have one. I have one. Rick from Mad Max Minute got me a minifigure of Ethan Hunt.
Yeah, they come with the Lego game, right?
Yeah, from that Lego video game Dimensions? That no longer exists. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rad.
I got Portal from that.
Yeah. Pretty rad.
Pretty cool.
You know what else is rad? MinuteImpossible.com. It's a great website. You can go there and find all our stuff.
Old I go t-shirts. There every day to check out the new updates on Minute Impossible and the different things they're doing over there. It's just a really rewarding part of my life, and my family and I couldn't do without it.
Yeah, go to your Apple Podcast app and download us. You can also find our TeePublic site and our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/MinuteImpossible, and you can sign up for some of our extras. We got a lot coming up. Actually, this month we're going to be having another mixer. Ooh. Where we all hang out and talk. So please join us for that. We're also going to do another live recording. Probably not this month, but it'll probably be next month. And there are Patreon-only episodes at the $3 per month fee. A range, and that allow you to listen to Patreon only episodes where we take a movie that we love. This time it was Face Off, because that was a John Woo movie, and that was crazy bonkers, and we talked about it for 3 hours and then split it up into 3 episodes. So go listen there.
This sounds like something people should take advantage of.
Thank you so much, Johan. It is.
That's the price of a cup of coffee a month.
A cup of terrible coffee. Help keep this pirate ship running. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Johan.
I'm Nathan. This minute will self-destruct.